Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
I'd like to focus on plants in the Vatican, a vine and a Christmas tree, both gifts dug out of Austrian soil. The vine to be planted in the Vatican gardens on Saturday morning, and the Christmas tree already in place in St. Peter's Square to be lit up on Saturday afternoon. But while the vine is young, the 108-foot red fir tree is a mere 120 years of age. A tree, then, that began its life during the pontificate of Pius VI, 14 popes down the line. And it seems this tree will live on, as it will be recycled, given to several companies that make semi-finished products for children, including benches and gazebos for schoolyards or parks, as well as toy boxes and frames. As I crossed St. Peter Square the other day and looked at the Christmas tree there, I thought to myself, how exactly do Christmas trees tie in with our Christmas traditions? Well, there are plenty of legends about the Christmas tree. And if you listen on with the help of Jill Bevilacqua and Sean Patrick Lovett, I'll be recounting some of these. That's not without letting you know first about some of the flowers that bloom at this special time of year, beginning with the poinsettia, or Christmas star. Do stay tuned.
Have you ever wondered what flowers, if any, bloomed on the first Christmas night? Well, the answer is we don't really know. But what I can tell you is that the most popular Christmas plant is the poinsettia, with its flaming red leaves that resemble the Star of Bethlehem. Here in Italy, it's simply called the Christmas Star. It seems the plant was introduced into the United States by Dr. Joel Roberts, poinsett, who brought the plant back to South Carolina with him. And there's a Mexican legend which explains the origin of this flower of the holy night. I've asked my colleague, Jill Bevilacqua, to tell us about it.
One Christmas Eve, a poor young Mexican boy had no gift for the holy child and was very sad, as he had no idea what to do. He made his way slowly to the church for midnight mass, and when he got there, he knelt down on the ground outside the church and prayed to God. "I am very poor, but I love you. I wish I had a gift to give to your son on his birthday." The boy finished his prayer and stood up, and there at his feet he was surprised to see a green plant with dazzling red leaves. He gently broke off the flower from the plant, carried it inside, and laid it before the Christ child.
And so every year at Christmas, the poinsettia blooms, and it's become one of our traditional Christmas symbols. But what about the rose that blooms at Christmas? In the language of flowers, different roses signify different things. The burgundy rose means simplicity and beauty. A faded rose, beauty is fleeting. The yellow rose, infidelity. Medieval legend asserts that the first roses appeared miraculously in Bethlehem as the result of a fair maiden who had been falsely accused and sentenced to death by burning. But Jill has yet another Christmas legend for us about the rose. It comes from France, and it's about a little shepherdess who follows the shepherds into the stable. And while each one of them has a gift for the child, she has none.
The angel Gabriel saw her in tears and asked what was the matter. And when she told him, he said, "What would you like to give?" The little girl thought for a moment and then said, "He has no flowers. If only I could give him roses, but it's winter and the ground's frozen." The angel led the little girl outside and touched the ground with his staff, and immediately it was covered with exquisite tiny wild roses. And to this day the Christmas rose blooms at this season.
But what about the daisy, the flower most children love? Did you know the word means the day's eye? Because the daisy closes its pinky lashes and goes to sleep when the sun sets, but in the morning expands its petals to the light. The Christmas legend about it is also from France. This time it's about a little shepherd boy. He too had no gifts.
There were white daisies in the field, and so he plucked one and offered it to the baby. And the baby kissed the daisy, and where his lips had touched its petals turned rosy pink. And that's why the daisies which grow in the grass have delicate pink-tipped petals.
Let's go from flowers to trees. What about the Christmas tree? It's become so much part of Christmas, so much so that each year now there's even one that stands by the Christmas crib in St. Peter's Square. The decorated Christmas tree was in use at the time of the Romans and came to us from Germany. It was made popular in Britain by Prince Albert soon after his marriage with Queen Victoria in 1840. As a matter of fact, Santa Claus and his reindeer came to England at this very same time. But this is a story of the very first Christmas tree.
One bleak, cold Christmas Eve, Hans the woodcutter sat by his fire with his wife, Gertrude, and their two children, Fritz and Gretchen. Presently they heard a noise outside, as though someone were trying to come into their cottage. They opened the door, and there was a tiny child, very white and cold. They took him in and warmed him and fed him, and that night he slept in the children's bed, while they slept on the hearth. In the night, Gretchen woke and heard singing outside. She called her brother, and together they peeped out. There on the doorstep was a little group of angel children. As Fritz and Gretchen stood wondering, they saw that the room behind them had filled with light, and there was the child, standing in a beautiful silver robe. He said, "I am the Christ child." Because little Fritz and Gretchen had befriended him, he pulled a branch from a fir tree outside the door and told them that it would always bear fruit for them at Christmas time. Then he left them. After he'd gone, the bough turned into a tree laden with silver nuts and golden apples and beautiful toys.
And it's in memory of that first Christmas tree that children today decorate their little trees with coloured fruit and toys. But the origin of the Christmas tree goes back a long, long way to the time when the Anglo-Saxon missionaries were preaching in Germany. Here's one of the most popular German legends.
One December night, St. Boniface was walking in a wood when he came upon a group of pagans. They'd met beneath an oak tree, known as the Oak of Jupiter, to sacrifice a small boy. Boniface arrived just in time to save the child, and then he attempted to fell the tree. He'd barely cut the first notch when a mighty wind shook the oak, and it fell crashing to the ground. Behind it was left a little fir tree, which had been growing between the roots. Boniface turned to the speechless crowd. "From this night," he told them, "that little tree shall be your emblem. It is the wood of peace, for your houses are built of it. It is the sign of eternal life, for its leaves are ever green. It points to heaven, and shall henceforth be called the tree of the Christ child."
There's still another story about a tree, the green ash tree, and once again it's about a little shepherd who had no gift to offer baby Jesus. He was the only one to notice how cold Mary looked in her thin blue robe.
He took off his little sheepskin and wrapped it round her shoulders. But the baby was cold too in his manger of straw, and the shepherd boy said, "Why has no one lit a fire?" "We have no wood," said Joseph. So the little shepherd went out into the snow, this time without his coat, to look for wood. But no wood could he find. Then a few snowflakes fell gently onto his face, and he looked up to see the beautiful star which had guided them still shining over the stable. "Star," said the little boy, "show me where I may find some wood for a fire." The star shone over the fields and lit up the branches of an ash tree. Across the fields ran the little boy, and with his knife he cut off some of the lower twigs of the tree. They were so weighed down with snow that it was easy to reach them. Back he went to the stable, hugging his armful of twigs. When he went in, the other shepherds laughed at him. "Whoever heard of making a fire with wet green wood?" they said. The little boy threw down his heap of wood and the tears started to his eyes, so then his gift was useless. But at that moment the baby woke, smiled, stretched out his hand to the bundle of twigs, and fell asleep again. There was a crackling sound, and suddenly the wood burst into flames, and soon there was a beautiful, warm, glowing fire in the stable to comfort the holy child.
Finally, a legend Russian children grow up with. It's about Babushka, or little grandmother.
Babushka was an old woman who lived long ago in a hut on the edge of a pine forest. One night, three wise men came to her door. They said they were following a star which was leading them to Bethlehem, where that night a great king had been born. And they were bearing beautiful gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they asked Babushka to go with them and bring her gift with her. But she said no, the night was so cold and dark, and she had no gift to offer, so they went away. After they had gone, Babushka wished she'd gone with them. She knew what gifts babies like. She got up from the fire and filled a big basket with toys that she kept to give to children. But when she tried to follow the wise men, no one could tell her which way they'd gone. So Babushka wandered and wandered, clutching her basket of toys, but she never did reach Bethlehem. So now, every Christmas Eve, she still wanders from place to place, and wherever she goes, she creeps into houses where children are sleeping and lays a toy on each pillow. Each child, she hopes, may really be the Christ child whom she is seeking.
That was the first of my programmes to bring the Christmas spirit in. I'd like to thank Jill Bevilacqua and Sean Patrick Lovett for the readings. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.